This is a lecture by L. Ron Hubbard given on the 2nd of November, 1953. The title of this lecture is Occluded Case Reports, Black Spot Processing, Certainty. This tape is 61 minutes long. Reproduced by Golden Era Productions. Please note, this tape ends abruptly as did the original master recording.
This is the afternoon lecture, November the 2nd. This afternoon, I want to know how many occluded cases we have in this room. What do you call an occluded case? I mean, now and then it all goes black.
All the time.
Yours goes black all the time.
No, it don't go black.
It is black it's all the same. Time. Okay, now what situation has altered here in processing with regard to the occlusion itself? What situation, what happened this morning in this morning's process of pulling in those anchor points?
Mine should stay blacker, but I was working outside. It seems to be blacker when I try to be sure I'm outside than when I'm inside.
What are you doing? Working? Are you exteriorizing?
I have decided that I am. I'm skipping weather.
Mm-hmm. All right, what happened while I was running that exercise this morning?
Mine turned purple and red.
Got automatic as hell, in other words. Got automatic.
Yeah.
All right.
Started around the black.
Okay. What happened to your occlusion this morning while you were doing that exercise? Somebody else. What happened to yours?
I got venom groggy. I couldn't hardly sit in.
Okay. What happened to you?
I got I felt like a nice rise in total.
Mm-hmm.
What's
with
it?
I didn't see
right up. Anybody's occlusion turn off? Well, that's just a little task. But yours?
No, I may have gotten an anchor point, whereas I know before I never had. Oh. Something black appeared out there.
Okay, well now. Now, this is what I call scraping bottom, if you want my candid opinion. This title of this lecture this afternoon is, How Far South Do You Have to Go? Well, I can tell you. You have to go south till that thing he just spoke about happens with a PC. I just tested that this morning as a group process, wondering whether or not it'd be processed on groups. Now, get this. Get this straight. Occlusion is two things in the final analysis. Two things. It's no space. And no space. And this comes about because a person has no anchor points. Naturally. The process which relieves occlusion is exactly the process which I gave you this morning, but it is carried out with a knowledge of certainty. Now, how far south did you have to go? It is not a case of an unsolved case or a strange case or a pre-clear that doesn't yup-guddle or something of the sort. It's just a case of how far south do you have to go to get a complete certainty on an anchor point, its appearance and disappearance, and self-determinism over same. If you think I'm being very new and very novel and very strange, I point out to you Black Spot Control Processing 8008. I point out the data to you on those tapes. The only reason, I never went into it at that time, to the degree it can be gone into, that's typical of this subject. You start swimming out in all directions and you just go forever. But having cases get somewhat straightened out and then finishing up with self-analysis just on getting a black spot. What was black spot processing? Squinted out right away. It was getting certainty on having put a black spot on a wall. Total certainty. putting a black spot on a wall with a pre-clear's eyes wide open or shut, as the case may be. It did not matter. As long as he could put on the wall a black spot, which would then remain stable, and turn it off and turn it on again at will. Now, how big did the spot have to be? You must understand that there's a question of mass. People have agreed with the Mest universe to a point where they think mass is terribly important. And so when you want something big and they have to have something big, then they know that gravity's going to gobble it up, and so they can't hold it up, so they have to get a lot of effort into it. It's sheer balderdash, but the point is, Case knows this. He's real certain of this. So let's go into it on a basis of a tiny, tiny microscopic spot. And from this tiny microscopic spot, let us drill or move something on the wall from one point to another point on the same wall until he knows he can create it, destroy it, move it. We just go up the gradient scale of certainty on his ability to handle a black spot. Well, why are we doing this? We're doing this so he can eventually handle an anchor point. That's all. There's no sense in going through drills with somebody. I can tell you that outside of self-analysis, it has that single soul virtue. You just plow on and on and on, and eventually the mock-ups get a little better and a little better and a little better and a little better. And eventually things straighten out. We won't say how eventually, but that is one process that does this. But it is almost senseless to process a case without finding how far south you have to go to give the case a certainty. I was beating a case around the other day, madly beating this case around, and I found out that the case had no certainty of any kind on anything the case was doing, and yet the case was exteriorized. How many cases are you processing that are like that? They're outside. They can see the scenery, maybe, but only to a certain distance. And do you know, actually, that this case doesn't have a concept of what reality is? And yet they are working somehow, some way, and they're getting a little bit better, painfully slow. These processes will beat them through with a club, practically, one way or the other. But why? When the one thing the case hasn't got is the one thing the case needs. Certainty. That's all. That's all it needs. That's all it's got to have. Your pre-clear says, yes, yeah, I can see the body. The hell he can. He's got an impression of a picture of a body. It's even clear to him sometimes, even brilliantly clear. It has tremendous color in it and everything else. Sure, he can see this picture, so he tells you yes. Well, don't ever ask him, are you sure it's there and it's yours? Well, no, we needn't go into that. Is it really there? Well, according to his gradient scale of reality, this is where some of the cases here possibly get utterly shattered. According to his guarantee of what's been real to him all his life, it's real. And according to what certainty has been to him all his life, it's certain. But let's not stock it up against any other certainty he has. Because he's got a certainty on the body. Believe me, if you stood him up and gave him a hell of a slap in the face, he'd be sure you slapped him in the face. And actually, you could process this rough. All right, the fellow says, yeah, that's real. Sure, sure. Got that, yeah, got that. Got something else. Throw it on the left shoulder, put it in the right pocket. Here we go, and nothing to it. Get your indications on, what the room, what the hall. He sits there and wastes your time by the hour. Because he doesn't know he's going anyplace. He doesn't know he's seeing it. Because he can't bring it up to the level of comparative certainty that he would get if you suddenly grabbed him by the throat and punched him in the eye. And if you did that and then you said, now are you sure I punched you in the eye? You say, yes, God damn you, I'm sure. You'd say then, are you that sure you mock up? Or are you not? Well, then let's get a mock up, you're that sure. Now this would utterly shatter his reality, actually. Well, what is the difference between one of these characters doing a good job of being here and being there and having points to view and everything is just going along grandly? He's got all this and he's still psychosomatic and he's still bogged down and you don't know quite where he's going and where he's coming from and so forth. As far as he gets up out of the session, he says, let's see, now there's the door and so forth. But he was real sharp, he was. What's his level of certainty? Well, please, let's find something of what's the preclear is real, and let's make it an anchor point. And let's just start in processing, as of today, this afternoon. In the first place, the case that is badly occluded doesn't even have his body anymore for an anchor point. He's more sure of that wall than he is of his body. If you don't believe this, run this exercise on him. All right, now feel a body, now don't feel a body, now feel a body, now don't feel a body, now feel a body, now don't feel a body, now feel a body, don't feel a body, feel a body, don't feel a body, feel a body. You know, all of a sudden say, no. You say, what's the matter with you? Well, I don't know. I did this on one fellow, and after we'd done it for a little while, and he looked at me very fixedly and says, you know, I think I'm a Phoenician. He was getting surer of being a Phoenician than he was a body. Why? He's never been outside this body and looked at it. See, he never took a look at this body. He's just sort of feeling it on a basis of looking in the mirror and fooling around with it and so on. He never gets a viewpoint of it. And now he's got a negative anchor point as far as it's concerned. Other people have ignored it, and he doesn't seem to have any force, and he doesn't. That people don't walk away from him when he spits at them, and he's not dangerous to his environment. He's got all these things beautifully proven. And one fine day, if you ask him real quick, before he had a chance to put out some comm lines and find out if it were sore or not, you'd say, are you in a body? No, he's just Satan kind of standing there, and there's nothing around him, and this is very upsetting to him indeed. Does he have a body? Well, gee whiz, that tells you immediately the guy's, if he doesn't have a body, it's on an inverted one. Ask him this right off the bat. Ask him to feel the desk in front of him. Now just sit back. Now, does your body feel as real to you at this desk? Can you at any moment turn on feeling as real in the body as you felt the desk? He'll wrap all around through himself and he'll finally say, you know, yes, I got the feeling in one toe. One tone. First thing he's liable to tell you is, yes, the chair. You say, hey, I said the body. He'll begin to assess this one out. He'll find out, yeah, he's feeling the chair. He's not quite sure with what he's feeling. Where he sits, the sphere he occupies, is less certain to him than the most trivial messed object in view. Because could be. He's never looked at himself. Well, why is this? Why should he get so nebulous? Well, it's because he has interfered with the GE's automatic mock-up system. He's tried to make something else out of the GE than what it was intended to be, namely a man or a woman. And so he has, having more horsepower, has messed up the automatic mock-up system of the GE, just as so somebody had gone into a refrigerator and stuck a monkey wrench in its ammonia pump. And now after that, unless something else supplants this, he's in a bad way. Now the point in question there, could he make any part of any body appear and disappear? Could you coax him up to that? If you first were able to get him to do that, he would find out that people do feel their bodies and there is enough there as a body to get out of. He is sitting on a relatively low grade, low grade zero. You see, because he doesn't look at the body, he doesn't know what to mock up. Now he can mock up Bill, or he can mock up Joe, or he can mock up Bill's mother, or his own mother, and if you were to start taking him apart as an engram, you'd find out he was mocking up piles of bodies. You'd find out that his face probably was superimposed by some other face on backwards. He's got all this weird thing. Well, why is he doing this? Because he doesn't know what to mock up. Somebody's got to mock up the body. It's not going to be there, believe me. And yet you're asking him to be 3 feet back of his head. This guy is more real in his own head. He can at least feel a desk, but he can't feel a body because it's not being adequately mocked up by himself. Have you ever seen somebody whose presence suddenly kind of blazed at you? You ever see some terrifically, quote, self-possessed person? You know, it's very rare in this society. Once in a while you see one. They sort of hit you between the eyes. They're putting on any beam or so forth. They're accurately mocked up. See, accurately. They're putting themselves back there every time. You'd be amazed what you could process for hours by a mechanical technique. Hours and hours and hours. A fellow would get over some psychosomatics and rearrange some energy, and he'd be very happy about it. And he'd get on. He'd go away and say, Scientology is very good. You're good on it. But you know that you could achieve a much greater result if you simply made him certain of one thing. Just one thing, I don't care what it is, you would achieve a better, higher result with him mentally. So you're just making certain of anything. The room, the wall, anything is looking at. You know, people are so used to looking at the walls and that sort of thing that when they start to audit, their attention will go out to the walls rather than to the body. They seldom concentrate on the body. That's why we have an extroversion-introversion technique system. Extroversion and introversion. Ever occur to you that introversion was as important as extroversion? Well, what would it mean, introversion? Well, let's put it on this basis. If a fellow is part of a seed and he's in a mess body, it's as important that the body be mocked up as the seed. Follow me? Now, let's take George Dopes, and George is sitting in the middle of a room, and his automaticity is going along at a mad rate, mocking up this room, and other people are mocking up this room. And other people see the room, and he agrees they all see the room, and he's very happy about this. But here's George Dopes in the middle of the room, and he isn't anywhere near as clearly mocked up as the room. Nest looks more solid because it's more solidly mocked up. If you want somebody to get out of the body very easily, well, you better get solid mock-up for him to get out of. It's about all it amounts to. What's this go back to then? Let's go back to certainty immediately. And what's this go back to? Well, he's in a negative space on one. Negative space. The body's in negative space. If it's a fate, he's about negative 8 or something of the sort. Minus 8. He's 7 times inverted, and the body is an inverted 1. And it's not really well mocked up, and it's not very solid. And he's not there at all, and yet the room's there. Well, he's kind of in competition with the messed universe one way or the other. But let's take a good close look at this boy, and we realize that his problem is not the problem of some tricky technique you're going to invent. It's not the problem of you suddenly reaching out and grabbing ridges off of him. It's not any one of these problems. He's handled this whole problem automatically. For so confounded long, he's depended completely upon automaticity to take care of everything. And one day you ask him to do it himself. Ah. Actually, all he has to do is be certain. He has to have, then, his space inverted on the consideration side, certainly. But to have a body and to have the Mesk universe back and to see it back again, he'll have to put it there. In order to be certain that he's seeing it, he will have to be certain. It's one of those horrible truths. The way to cross a river is to cross the river. The way to eat duck is to eat duck. Tribe of Indians, all of their maxims went this way. True as can be. The way to shoot a deer is to shoot a deer. This passed for wit, humor, philosophy, logic, and everything else was figured out up the Hudson someplace. Okay? Certainty. Unless he's certain, nothing is going to make him certain. How are we going to have him become an effect so that he will... You get that? That's just... problem's unstable. And yet everybody's trying to state this problem. They're living proofs of it. If he's inverted far enough on enough dynamics, you've got to turn them around. What are they turned around on? They're all turned around basically on just one thing, space. What do you got to have space? You've got to have anchor points to have space. If a fella can't be sure of an anchor point, believe me, he can't be sure of any space, and until he can be sure of some space, he can't be certain of very much else. So we get in down the line to this one thing, anchor point. You only need one to start with, and then you can get two and three and four. Well, I was processing to learn something from. As long as I had this person handling little black balls, this person didn't get any place at all, but I put a couple of flags up. I made this person make a cube of space by making flags. I was saying, put up eight anchor points, all right, pull them in, eight anchor points, pull them in. You know, very foggy, very dull. No fat. No, they're doing it all right. And if I hadn't called the freight on it and suddenly said, this train stops at this station here, they'd probably been doing it yet, and because knowing me or something of the sort, expected somewhere later by nuclear physics or necromancy, there not being very much difference between either subject, they would suddenly become clear or better or be able to see better or something of the sort. Yeah. I fished around with spots. I couldn't get a spot. You couldn't see a spot. Wasn't anything about spots. Well, we got an American flag, by golly. She was real sure of that American flag, so we put them on staves, and we stuck them in the ground, one to the right and ahead of her, another one to the left and ahead of her, one behind and to the right, one behind and the left, until we had a cube of space made out of what? The top and bottom of a flagstaff. Real good certainty. And we had those things snapping in at a mad rate, and the eyesight on the case improved about 100%. Then it started to fall off. Lights started to fall off. Well, I asked her to put them out too far. I asked her to put them around the solar system. And at that moment, her certainty on the flags themselves fell down to zero. Because it was too something or other that they would be out there on the solar system. It just seemed to her that they were around the solar system at the moment. And then she said to herself, this is incredible. And then she validated and pulled off of it like mad. In other words, I carried her along too fast. And the increase in vision of the case ceased. She steadied then at exactly the point I had left the last certain mock-up, and her communication went on. What was I asking her to do? I was asking her to, quote, pump space into herself. Put out these four flagstaffs and snap them into herself. Put out these four flagstaffs and snap them in. Four and snap them in. Four and snap them in. Four and snap them in. After a while, she says, you know, I don't have to pull them in. I just tell them to come in. They come in. I said, that's fine. She said, well, I'm not doing wrong with that. No, you're not doing. At that moment, I should have realized there was something wrong. There was a question in her mind. See, something had happened there that gave her a questioning attitude. She was wondering about something that wasn't quite right to her. Well, I had passed over the limit of the mock-up. I'd obviously put it too many places or worn it too thin. I'd done something with it. We don't care what it did with it. The only thing that's important about it is that particular set of markups became less real to the preacher. She went up against what? She went up against the big rich, didn't she? You know, I think the least certain person I ever met was a fellow being hit between the eyes with a bullet. He wasn't certain at all. But the somatic was, that bullet was awful certain. He wasn't. He was getting awful uncertain. You want to go down here to the accident ward if you want to see some real uncertain people. Boy, they're in a fog. They're in a real daze. They've just been hit by cars and run over and hurt and so forth. Now, you give them a short time. Give them a short time. They'll come up and perk up on an artificial certainty. They'll have a euphoria a short time later. They will have taken the place of the somatic normally, taken the place of the impact, and the impact is very sharp and very certain, and they're very happy about it, and this will wear off within 3 days. And it's a sort of euphoria. They're glad. You can explain it any way you want to. By the way, an old-time auditor was in the office this morning, and he was trying to analyze this case, and he was analyzing this case entirely from the subject matter of thought, of what the case wanted to do or didn't want to do. And he was very condemning of the case, you see, by that, analyzing it by thought. It was what he was thinking about the case. You see, here wasn't a matter of, she didn't have any space, say about any case, but this girl really had no space. Every time you start to snap in new space, you got new inversion on some dynamic. Of course, this case was changing radically and then ran square into the ridge. See? She'd gotten up to that certain speed, and then she'd gotten to that speed, and they don't have to do this, you understand, but they very often will. She ran slam bang into the automatic machinery. She ran into the ridge. All right, the ridge started discharging at her, something on the order of the guy firing the bullet. You see that? She sure was uncertain. How'd she get uncertain? Well, the ridge started firing at her. Well, she was being carried away by a flow which was more powerful than herself. So she couldn't handle the flow, so she couldn't handle anything. So she was uncertain, so her mock-up became uncertain. Now, it was up to me at that moment to find a new certainty for her. What thing could we get now of which she was certain? We'd gotten the limiter on that, and let's build her certainty someplace else. Well, I had been doing an introverted technique in that space. So the second she came up against that ridge, we had to let that ridge go on by if it tore her head half off. So the thing to do was to put her attention on the outside environment. Put it on the walls and so forth. See? And we got what? A vision increase. We got a vision increase, and it increased again, and it went up to another limiting factor, and all of a sudden she was uncertain of the walls again. See what we're doing? So I gave her a little more space. And this time I had to give her something else of which she was certain. See? Certainty versus the ridge. This drama could be called certainty versus the ridge. Where a fellow is caught in forces he conceives to be stronger than himself, although he himself actually was the author of a force. Doesn't do him any good to console himself with the fact, well, I put it there myself, therefore I'm to blame for it. Being to blame for that is another situation entirely, you see. That is having put it there yourself and now being the recipient of its kick. That's being to blame. Being responsible for it is putting it there yourself and recognizing it. But at the moment, you don't happen to be receiving any kick from it. Therefore, you can be fully responsible for it. What do you need on a case, then? You need an anchor point. What kind of an anchor point? I don't care what kind of an anchor point. That tells you something else. You can take four chairs and put it around somebody and say, well, we've got some space now. This, by the way, will produce some interesting effects on an individual. You just take it out of the environment. I've had people practically kicking their toes into a broken, bleeding mass against walls and so forth until they themselves were certain of the wall. I keep asking them if they were certain of the wall and so forth. And the fact that I keep asking them were certain had a tendency to shake their certainty.
This lecture is continued on side 2 of this cassette.
And you would have thought they would have wound up in this horrible screening mass, but after a while, having been persuaded from one point to another of what was the realest thing in the room, what are they most certain of in the room, they finally could accept the whole room. What were they doing? Going around handling lamps and everything else? I've had people actually get up and crawl around the walls of the room with the most astonished wonder in their eyes. Just feeling the wall and so on, people who could see perfectly well. Feeling the wall and so on. They never knew what certainty was before. Just never knew what it was. Just caught it on a gradient scale and built a gradient scale of certainty up to a point where all of a sudden they actually could contact the wall. It's very simple, isn't it? How long is it going to take you to learn? You know, if you knew that lesson well, there wouldn't be a concluded case here. Because the exercise to knock out occlusion is to put eight black anchor points around the guy and knock him back into his head. That's all, in brackets. That's the technique. I don't know. I think there have been a couple of people here who have had occlusion turn off and on just running the exercise. How many people have had occlusion turn off and on running that exercise? Well, there's one. There's two. Who else has had it turn on and off? Three. See, it'll turn it on and off. It will certainly turn it on. I've turned it on, I've turned blackness. But every time this has happened, I just tried to make a group process. I'll give you an example of how it's processed. I've had results only with a pre-clear who knew what he was doing. He knew what an anchor point was. He knew he had an anchor point. He knew he had anchor points. He knew he had space. Nothing was worrying him. This problem had been to a large degree resolved with this pre-clear. Well, all right, let's get him then. Let's get this pre-clear to a point where he knows he's got an anchor point. I don't care how small it is. Now let's get him to a point where he can destroy it. I don't care how many times he has to duplicate it. And now let's get him to a point where he has to move it. He can do that by having him look at the wall. By having him mark up a marker. By having him do all sorts of things. Feel his body. Feel a chair. Take over an anchor point. Mass universe anchor point. So on. Just go over this until he's sure he's got an anchor point and he can move it. I don't care if he has to pick up the chair and carry it across the room after he's sure it's there. He's moved it. Now, you can actually take a piece of paper, build him up to a piece of paper, although that's kind of a bad one, and have him tear it up to bits, do all sorts of things to convince him he can knock one apart. See? It's very simple. But he didn't create the piece of paper, and he knows he didn't create the messed universe. Or if there's anything he knows he didn't do that. If he didn't create the messed universe, he couldn't use any part of it as anchor points. If he didn't have a show in all this or a hand in all this, he wouldn't be in it. You can hate the messed universe all you want to. You can cuss it and kick it around and do anything you want to. But by golly, don't try saying to somebody that it's not yours, because it is. It's the combination of home universes. It's co-anchor points. It's co-machinery. Co-systems. There isn't one of you that hasn't left his tracks all over this universe and hasn't made an awful lot of energy and poured it into the universe. Do you have to make something for it to be yours? Well, yeah, in this case, you do, because you make it all the time. Where's the past? Boy, it's sitting on the thinnest strata you ever saw. It's sitting right in the front. Where's the future? Boy, same thing. You can make up energy and say it'll appear in the future. The idea that nobody can destroy your anchor points and the idea that you cannot destroy messed are coincidental. The first overt act is against messed anchor points. One of the darndest inversions you ever saw is the inverted six. I mean, what is an inverted six? An inverted six says, I didn't make the messed universe. I don't own the messed universe. The messed universe is not mine. I cannot use the messed universe for anchor points. Yes, you can. certainty. We want to give him certainty. If we don't give him certainty on an anchor point, we're not going to give him anything. He'll wind up with nothing. I don't care what the certainty is. It's a very low level of certainty. Then you have to be able to let him win. How simple. Now, just checking over, including cases here, has anybody ever drilled with you and worked with you to a point where you were absolutely certain you had a black spot? Were you finally certain you had a black spot? Now, what did they do with it? Forget it.
Not for a while.
Well, some people never do get the two and two to go together to make four. That's all. But you can see immediately if you're certain you got one black spot. Then we can move that and create it. And the next thing we got to do is get a couple of them. And the next thing we got to do is get three or four or five of them. And then let's get eight of them. And then let's get these eight up in space. If we can move all these things around and we're certain of them every time, boy, we'll be certain of every reason we got. You yank, start yanking those in simultaneously in brackets. And the conclusion goes, boom. It's not a hard problem. It is such an easy problem that it's very hard for people to convince me. No matter how aberrated or precluded they act or gather, how much they grope for doors, but this is a problem. It hasn't been a problem for some little time. There's several things that remedy it, but that one really remedies it. You can turn occlusion on with it. You can take any case that's wide open and can see beautifully, and you can make it blinder than a bat just by doing that technique. And if you were to leave him right there, just hang him up, pull in the eight anchor points, and pull in the eight anchor points, and the guy says, "Yay! It's all black." You say, "You poor fellow, well, I guess I did the technique wrong, and there's no remedy for that at all." And you simply went off and left the case. He'd stay as occluded as you ever heard of anybody being occluded. He'd eventually burn his way out of it if he was feeling real hot or something of the sort someday. Possibly. But you actually can occlude a case. Well, don't tell me you can't unocclude it. You can include yourself just by doing this technique. Of course, it's always best to have black and heavy anchor points, real heavy anchor points. Eventually, the guy will come in and get him to explode. Another thing is to get a drill on certainty of explosion. You were running an awful lot of explosions on a mock-up process we had not too long ago, and that explosion was called, for mock-up purposes, just perimeter processing. It isn't very good as a technique. It does what? As you did it, you observed that the fellow sort of came in on his space. In other words, this kind of had a tendency to sort of feed space to the guy. Nothing much happened in the process. It's a better process than other subjective processes, but still no good. Why? It doesn't feed space in fast enough. You can get space into the fellow faster than that. You could take space out of the bank faster than that just by yanking in eight anchor points. You see, there's more to talk about with regard to this. There's no need really to talk about it. How certain is he of his space? He's as certain of space as he's certain of his anchor points. If he doesn't have any anchor points, he doesn't have any space. We're going into this a week or two ago. What's uncertainty? Uncertainty of anchor points is the way you make somebody uncertain. What's invalidation? The way to invalidate somebody is to make him uncertain of his anchor points. Well, then, by golly, the way to validate somebody is to make him certain of his anchor points. Isn't that interesting? Nothing. You want to sit down with a preclear and you want to go round and round and over until he just despises this damn word called certainty, until he says, "You don't care how far you have to run this technique." Of course, this fellow's parked right up against a ridge or something like that. You know, you can very often ask the guy, "All right, mock up a machine that makes uncertainty." Very often you get the damnedest, clearest, realest machine he ever walked into. Sometimes you ask a fellow to get a little explosion or something at some distance from him. What he got? He got one. Now don't make him lose immediately simply by turning around and get a bigger explosion that he can't handle. Let's have him get the same kind of explosion he got until we get a security. Most auditors, when they handle this, will get a fellow certain of one thing, see, and then they won't do anything with it. It's like they're scared of it. You get somebody very, very sure of a black spot. Doesn't hurt anybody, but space is a viewpoint of dimension. Why do we want black spots? Well, my fault. Really, I can say so. But here's the point, is you can't, what's certainty? Certainty is a state of mind. Certainty of something would be a certainty in anchor points. That's about all we can get around to when we finally get down and boil the whole business of sanity and insanity down. It fits into that problem of certainty. What is about the certainty? It's simply, is it there or isn't it there? Is it there or isn't it there? That's what certainty is. Now, Satan is capable of greater certainty level than that. But truth itself is simply a certainty. Now, you work with a gradient scale, and you work gradually, and you work carefully. You say, a couple here said, yes, we finally got black spots. But what do you do with these black spots? Well, what do you want a black spot? You want a black spot simply so you can put up 8 black spots, that's all. What do you want 8 black spots for? Well, the truth of the matter is, you know, a lot of fellas put up anchor points and so on. They're fuzzy and they're foggy and they're two-dimensional. They haven't any depth. So there's probably one other thing you should drill on a certainty. There is one other thing. I better mention it. It seems to be kind of obvious, too. After you got a black spot, you get a black sphere. Well, that's part of the selection. You get a black sphere. What do you want a black sphere for? What good's a black sphere to anybody? It's an anchor point. That's what it is. What do you do with it? Well, you put it up. You put 8 of these black spheres up and give them a yank. You got it. The fellow's lost out in life, and he's lost through doing this. Of course, he's gone down on inversion after he's had this happen. So, of course, he doesn't sometimes come up very fast. But I gave you a little simple drill. I gave it to you as a group, and I didn't even bother to get you certain of anything before I gave you the drill. Had I handled it very, very grossly here in the group this morning, and yet you said, I'm sure that you had some slight alteration in perception as a result of it. I don't care whether it's plus or minus. There was an alteration in perception. That's all we're interested in. It's all we're interested in. You can't do anything else with a pretty clear get an effect. I found a very curious thing, you're seeing this case. I meant to report on this case days ago, by the way. Fascinating case. The case has broken every auditor's heart that's been around this case. And one see what was so fussed up about this case that nobody could make any headway with this case besides the case being almost dead. But that's no bar, just because the case is almost dead. It shouldn't be a barrier. So what do we get? We got a case of blindness. And this case of blindness is coupled with an inability to see exteriorly. You say, well, gee, that's easy, nothing of that. The person can't see inside or outside. No, not quite that easy, because the auditor never looked. The case has a continuing, had an anesthesia, and then a terrible sensitivity right across the eyelid, eyeball, and brow areas. The case continually being hurt, face being hurt continually. Every time this case tried to get out of her body, she got stuck on the eye ridge, and the limiter of the eye ridge, and the way they fix up these, way you fix up these ridges so they won't bother you again, is you put pain in them. And if anybody tries to turn them off, they really get hung up like mad. They're sort of theta traps. You have to obey them because they'll hurt you if they don't, which is a very good way to get a body to obey, believe me. It's the way everybody uses. We know that. So the ridges are composed of all kinds of facsimiles where that's done. Well, all right, this case then had a ridge sealing off the vision. In other words, impacts across the eyes. Even had recently in Phoenix a broken nose. Fell down and hit her face. Well, what do we get out of this? We get an anesthesia eye area, and we get a broken nose. And we get a heavy, heavy, heavy ridge across the front of the eyes. Now we ask this person to exteriorize, and the second we ask her to exteriorize, the natural consequence is, if I'm exteriorized, what can I see? And we get an immediate reaction of the ridge across the eyes turning on, which turns on the cycle of snap into the head. Now we try to move her out of the head, and we turn on the ridge in the eyes, and the second threatens to turn on. Of course, she has to come in again, because that means blindness itself. There was a blinding pain there. A blinding flash has taken place there. In this case, it's not in communication. with the eyeballs and the eyebrows and the end of the nose and the cheeks. How can you process a case's eyes on if the case is not in communication with the optic nerve? Should be very elementary. See, look, you ask them to look through the nerves, and they can't feel. Oh my God, if they can't feel, they certainly can't look. There are some cases that can think, but they can't exert any effort. Now you're going to turn on this case as lookingness all of a sudden? It's silly. You've got to do some sort of a certainty drill to get them up over the bumps. You've got to blow up a few machines on them. You've got to blow up a few anchor points on them. You've got to do a few drills one time or another. See? Build up their certainty. And we'll get to a point. You see, the only reason the Thetan is really sure that he's exteriorized is because he hauls some anchor points along with him. He really doesn't exteriorize himself and get his certainty off the room. You've suddenly given him his own anchor points back, and he then knows he's in his own space, so he's certain where he is. And when you've suddenly exteriorized somebody and turned out a hell of a dose of reality, that's what's happened. He's carried some anchor points out with him, which he's sure. He's recognized some old friends, some anchor points. Now he's got the distance to the body because he's got the distance to the anchor points and the distance from the anchor points to the body. How simple. All right. Where do we work on this case then? What would you do? You can't get the case processed. You get flags and the reality goes up just so high and then this piece of automaticity goes into operation. And we get our word clank and a swish clip. And what would you do? Case, very, very bad verbal communication. How do you get a ridge that's up sitting on somebody's body someplace? How do you knock it out? Well, you have to knock it out by the process of perception or force, somehow or another. You can't persuade them just to knock it out. I had the preclear reach and withdraw her own hand from her own eyeballs while closed. You know, the first few times she put her hand up there, she couldn't get her hand within 4 or 5 inches of the eyeball while she thought she was touching him. This is not disorientation. This is being lost completely. The preclear puts her hand up to touch her eyeballs and touches the top of her hair. Puts her hand up to touch her eyeballs, is readjusted, and touches her upper lip. What's certainty? Certainty of location, certainty of something. She couldn't find her eyeballs, and yet the auditors who audited her kept expecting her to look through them. Why the hell could she look through something she didn't know where it was, huh? It seemed to me this case got no business being there, got no business being in my office. All an auditor had to do was just take his 2 fingers like this and start tapping them around on the eyelids at irregular intervals or something of the sort to find out. Got a complete amnesia there as far as how do I look. We got a complete anesthesia all around the area of the eyes. And the second that there was any gesture in the direction of the eyes, every auditor that's processed her, by the way, that I know of, has noticed this reaction. If she would shrink back into herself, close her eyes tightly, and shudder while holding her head well back in a protected position. Really a convulsion, you see. Get those eyes, get that nose out of the road so that it can't be seen. Total thought of the case. Every time you say anything to the case, any time an auditing command had any effect on the case, she's been doing this every hour, about 10 times every hour she's been processed since the first time any auditor touched her. What is this? This is a protection of the eyes. What can an auditor do for a case if he can't look? He won't look. We'll just run it all automatically. Every time he hit anything hot, every time he really got in communication with the case ducked her chin, slid back in the chair, humped up her shoulders and shuddered. Doing what? Quite obviously protecting the face. I mean, you could have had signs all over saying, I am protecting my face. It couldn't have been more obvious. Complete anesthesia. First couldn't locate him with her fingers. Next couldn't locate him even vaguely. As far as feeling was concerned, and all of a sudden feeling came on and she let out a small, dull scream. Why? Because it hurt like hell every time a finger touched the cheeks, the brow, the eyelid, or the eyebrows or the temples. Wince, 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 wince. What was the magnitude of blow that was causing her to wince? Well, it was just this. It was just like this. And this felt to her like she was being jabbed with needles or hit with hammers. You wonder why this case couldn't see. Every time they would try to look, they would look somewhere through this vicinity, and that would energize this ridge, and then the ridge would kick back, and then immediate reaction would be that the automatic machinery on the thing, the automaticity of seeing, had to turn off, and then what did we have on it? We had an immediate sensitivity of the area, which threatened to appear, but of course never did. The second the threat of the thing appearing appeared, the case would immediately shut off vision so that you get momentary flicks. It's pretty elementary. And of course, being so concentrated on seeing, every time the Thetan tried to extend the beam outside the back of the head, she, the Thetan, keyed in this thing on the body, which re-stimulated the body. How fast does a pre-clear come in if you haven't stabilized him well outside and you suddenly hauled off and kicked him in the shins? He's right back in the body right now. Well, you got the same reaction. She tries to exteriorize and it threatens to turn on pain, so she comes right back into the head. Do you suppose this is any different from her and any other pre-clear that won't exteriorize? Let's just get the coordinated factor there. You kick somebody in the shins. Why are we interested in the pain test? Don't forget that we still have the pain test on clearing. Why are we interested in it? Well, it's because the person goes out and at any moment of threat to the body or something like that, he thinks he can only control it from within, so he has to be inside the body and handle it and control it from inside the body, right? The person is not well stabilized outside. You just touch the body and he'll fly back into the body. You just, in some cases, it's just been exteriorized. If you just reach over and threaten to touch the body, or the case is right back inside of it, bang, real quick. Why? It's because of the pain and because of the tremendous number of communication lines which are still wrapped up around the body, still all around the body, you see. And these become energized, and when these become energized, in comes the pre-clear. Boom, automatic response mechanism. So he asked this Mr. Blow to move out. What is the connection between an anesthetized nose and a non-exteriorizing pre-clear? It means he's got a ridge up there in the front of his face somewhere. Well, I'm trying to apply this case to every face, but it's a good model. Anesthetized nose, anesthetized chin. I had a pre-clear one time, didn't have an anesthetized nose, didn't have anesthetized eyes, didn't have anesthetized ears. And yet when he went out and into the body, he looked like one of these little kid balls they use when they got a rubber on the ball and they got a little bat. Well, boy, she comes straight back in just like that. Bingo. And I finally found out she was wearing, I'm sorry, I have to say that because it was a girl that did this. It was kind of hard to tell the sex, though, because what she had under her chin was a hussar strap. You know, where the shackle? Well, she'd been a hussar in the Napoleonic Wars, and she'd gone underneath the limb of a tree in a battle at a dead run, and it had just kind of naturally taken off the shackle, but it had also taken off and broken her neck. It was quite an impact. She still was wearing the imprint of this shackle and still had the mock-up of that body being made madly. Body's being mocked up better, really, to her understanding, better than her present time body. So there we get this mock-up going like mad, and here's this pre-clear, and he asks this pre-clear to come out. What happens? He just energizes this ridge underneath here and underneath the chin, big automatic ridge. That was only one part of this ridge, by the way, just the shock of strop there. A lot of things on the ridge. Bang! And she's coming in. Just, you energize a beam, and it shortens, that's all. It's as simple as that. Light one of these funny smoke snakes that they have for 4th of July, it lengthens. Well, if you energize a tractor beam, it shortens. And they're trying to hold on to the body,
The thetan has tractor beams on the body, and when these get energized, like pain or any other stimulus, of course they shorten. So you're trying to lengthen the thetan, who's still using beams, he exteriorizes and pang, and goes back into the body as the tractor beam energized. Well, he's got a ridge sitting there. He isn't bothering the ridge any while he's in the body. He's feeling perfectly all right, but one fine day you ask him to be back of the body, and of course you energize this ring, and he gets back of the body, and he bangs back into the body. Well, it happens so fast, the fellow who doesn't think he's exteriorizing actually exteriorizes every time you tell him to. And comes back into the body so fast he doesn't know he's been out. The period is so quick. You just lengthen that period a little bit. Now, after a fellow's been at this for a little while, he gets some kind of automaticity keyed in. Very often they get outside, and then they come back into their body, and then they don't want to leave anymore. Well, scared or something, the sort you can say. What's happened is they run into a piece of automaticity. Now, we've got that technique I gave you this morning of mocking up the machine. Good technique. But believe me, it's just as good as they've certainly got a machine there. No better. All you have to do is find an anchor point at which somebody's certain. They're very often more certain. But to put this down in letters of vitriol, a preclear is very often more certain of some other location than that one in which he presently is located. If he'll merely start searching around as to where it is, he will be absolutely sure he's someplace. Or he's certain he's looking at something. He's more certain he's looking at something than he's in. Holding is a problem of certainty and space. The way you get certainty in spades is get certainty on an anchor. Elementary, my dear Watson. The best technique up to that, if you've got somebody who's having a hell of a time with certainty, is back him up into a closet or something of the sort and have him hold the back two upper corners with his hands while balanced on a chair. You'll find out he'll be very uncertain there after a while. Then he gets certain there, and then he gets uncertain there. Having much less precarious exercises, just make him go down like a puppy or something, sort of stick his finger into the corner by the baseboard of the room. And you got a little closet or something, sort of make him hold those two lower corners. Now, what are we talking about when we say hold? In that case, you really make him hold them. Just keep banging them every once in a while to make sure they're there. Not think. It's really remarkable. I ran this technique on somebody one time. I thought this character was going to go insane before he finally shed enough automaticity to permit him to sit in a chair and hold the two back corners. He was below that level. He had to sit in a chair and hold the two back corners of the room, know they were there. How far south do you have to go? Well, you have to go as far south as you have to go in order to make the preclear certain of something. And when he becomes certain of something, then he finds out that he hasn't been very certain of something else. And he maybe didn't know that before. Well, this itself is terrifically revelatory to him. This guy says, you know, I've never been certain I had a body here. It's all kind of beautifully unreal to me. Thousands of processes. Now, change of space processing only breaks down on you when you break down the certainty of where the fellow is and whether or not he's seeing them. And when that certainty breaks down, the process breaks down. And when any certainty breaks down, on any process, the process breaks down. Because they're all monitored by this one thing. So you know that, understand it, know it thoroughly. You're doing all right. But let me assure you, the only cases here that are even vaguely having trouble are the only cases here which are uncertain. Now, this afternoon's auditing session, from here on, let's just test this one out. How far south do you have to go? You're going to be surprised. It's taken me 3 years to find how far south you had to go. Take a preclear. They haven't changed any. Preclears haven't. Let's just get something up to a point where the preclear is certain. You could just do this. Get something you're certain of. Don't keep asking him, are you certain? Then pick up this or that, or put him on a knee meter and get something that's charged, or something gets a rise on, or just a black spot. When he's finally drilled through with a black spot, believe me, make him make polka dots out of all the walls before you let him go with the technique.